This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Justin, I consider myself an old dog, but I like to learn some new tricks occasionally.
I like to think of myself as young, but I'm starting to realize that it's just not really that true anymore.
Every day, man, you're a lot older than you were yesterday, but that's okay because we are here to learn from each other, and the best way to learn from each other is to glean from what's the youth learning. And I got to tell you, we have someone today that is he's a young guy, but don't let that fool you because he's smart. See, he's got the smarts, and I'm going to tell you all about it as soon as we introduce the show, which is right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Marketing Geeks.
Marketing Geeks.
Welcome to the Marketing Geeks, everybody. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So our guest today is he's 21 years old. Can you believe it? And he is an author and a web developer and a podcast host. And man, he is on the track. And I got to tell you, I got mad respect for that. And this is a guy who is doing it. He's doing it large. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Jordan Paris.
Well, thank you very much. I love the applause effect there. That's a new one.
Yeah. So we recorded live in studio. So that's just
that's right. All of our seven listeners are here in right now. So, Jordan, I mean, you have an interesting story because, first of all, and I'm sure you get this a lot, right? You're like booming into the stratosphere with what you're doing, and you're doing it at a very early age. And I'm sorry that has to be an issue here, but I'm pushing like 50, right? And Justin is pushing like 62. And
right. So 36, man, 36 over here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and like how you ended up doing what you're doing.
I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of there's no sexy stories attached to like why, because people ask me this kind of question all the time. Why did you start your podcast? Why did you write the book? Why this? Why that? And it's like, gosh, really don't know. Like it just kind of happened. I've conditioned myself over a long period of time to make decisions without hesitation. Like, I remember towards the end of high school, and I'd never run track before in my life. And I was always like the fastest on the baseball team. So people always said, friends and their parents said, Jordan, you need to run track. Even like people, I'd run sprints on the beach in the summer, and all my grandma's friends would be like, you gotta run track. And I never did. I was told that for years. And I just thought about it. I was like, should I not? And 3 years went by and nothing happened because I was thinking about it. Yeah. All of a sudden, junior year and end of junior year. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. Whatever. My only friend at the time, Peter, and I just did it. And it was an interesting experience. And then parlayed that right into, we'd never played football in our lives before. I mean, we'd played football, but not like organized tackle football. And I mean, the closest thing we'd done was like YMCA football when we were like young kids, or at least I did, and playing football in the backyard. But we just did it. Like, we had no idea what we were doing. We just figured out how to get on the team. I don't even recall having a discussion about it. Like, it just happened. And then I get to, and I look back on it as a good experience, but at the time it sucked. Like, we were each other's only friends, and we were like buddy, you know? So we're called gay every day by kids 2 years younger than us, you know, like by the sophomores, and we're the seniors, and we're getting like bullied. Right. So it was an interesting experience, developed some thicker skin from that. And get to college my first year as you know, 18 years old, and, you know, fresh off being a high school loser. And I just start doing things. Like, that first, within a matter of days, all of a sudden I was a student athlete. I was a cheerleader of all things. Like, the opportunity came to me and I didn't even think about it. I just did it. Right.
Now, are you still, you're still going to college, right? You're still enrolled.
I am. Yeah.
What are you majoring? I'm just curious, like, what major did you pursue? And did you, when you entered college straight out of high school, are you on the same track with your major that you were when you first entered, or is that evolved at all? I want to share a little bit.
Yeah, it's evolved. I mean, it went from like accounting to finance to marketing, and then as of like last week, entrepreneurship, just because the path of least resistance right now, and I have much more important things than to learn quote unquote marketing, which directly translates to marketing that worked in the 90s, not things that work today. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, look at the podcast we're on is called Marketing Geeks right now. And I love marketing. I think that's very evident. And I like talking about it. And I'm a practitioner. And I breathe marketing. And, but that's not what we're learning in school. So I was like, screw that. I'm just getting the piece of paper here.
I'm a lifelong learner, so I still take, like, I'll go to the junior colleges locally and take their marketing classes from time to time, just for the fun of it, because that's fun, right? But you're right. I mean, what they teach in college, what they're teaching right now is, I mean, there are fundamentals that are evergreen that will last forever, but for the most part, I mean, you're not going to learn digital marketing, you're not going to learn email marketing, you're not going to learn copywriting. You're just learning basic fundamentals, like what is an audience, what are like the medium means, what is a marketing mix, like, really, it's just definitions. Right. So it's a whole nother world. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Every class, it's like target market. Like, I get it. But anyway.
Yeah. And the trouble is that this stuff changes so quickly now. I mean, it's like the stuff, you start a class and by the end of the class, you know, there's like a whole new technique. There's a new algorithm. There's a new platform. So it's not like it's really a, I get it. I mean, you know, and I've had this issue as well. In fact, one of the biggest questions that we get is, you know, how do you keep up with everything? But let me ask you this question. First of all, what made you decide to write the book, create your business?
Right. So that was, that's pretty much so that's like last question. So I'll finish there. So, I mean, that first week, the other piece of that first week was running for president of my residence hall, like with eight other people, and I won. And so all of a sudden, going from high school loser, in a matter of days, I was like a cool kid. I was popular for the first time in my life. It was really cool because I was making decisions without hesitation. I wasn't even thinking about it. I heard you could run in our like resident hall, like our floor meeting. And it didn't even cross my mind. Like, oh my God, I'm going to do this. Like, I just decided right then and there, and I made it happen. I figured it out along the way, like how I was going to win. And there's a lot that goes into that too, kind of a marketing like story that goes into that. But anyway, yeah. And then December 2nd of 2016, someone read one of my papers. A mentor of mine read a paper I wrote on health. He goes, you need to start sharing this stuff. You should start a blog. And so December 2nd of 2016, JordanParisHealth.com went up. It's now JordanParis.com, of course. And so I didn't even think about it. I just did it. And then, you know, a year and a half later, or a year and 4 months later, or 5 months with the podcast, same thing. April 17th of 2018, that's the date that the first two episodes went up. And the only reason that I know that is because that's what the podcast directors say happened. Otherwise, I'd have no idea. Like I was, it's as if I was like sleepwalking through the entire thing, which is totally conceivable because if you listen to those early episodes, horrible, just dreadful. And that is the side effect of making decisions without hesitation. I always suck at things first. Like I'm hosting an event for the first time. It's just a LinkedIn local, but I'm putting on hosting my, this is the first time the event planning side in me is coming out. Like again, that was another decision without hesitation. I have no idea what I'm doing and it might just be a complete disaster. I'm really nervous for it. So that's the side effect, but I grow as I go and I figure it out along the way. It's called imperfect action. And book. Yeah, exact same thing. Just happen.
Well, let me say this real quick, because if I was going to like rewind my life and if I wanted to start a business around when I was as young as you are, the things that you are doing are like the perfect strategy because number one, you have to deal with the clear objection that you're younger than most people, which is really a perceptual thing. It's not really a reality. I think people that are younger are sharper and often can bring insights just as powerful as anybody else. But the way that you can get around that is you have to build fast authority. And the things that you're doing, writing a book and starting a podcast are two of the fastest ways to build quick authority and quick prestige, quick credibility in your business. You're doing both. Plus having a blog, eventually doing live events, which is your next trajectory. Like everything you're doing, if you were going to ask me on like how I would go about getting quick authority in as a young person is the correct strategy. That's so I don't know, did you stumble upon some of this stuff were you like, was there any sort of game plan to this or is this kind of just been like you're really diving in, learning as you go?
Well, in the beginning, yeah, I just stumbled upon it. Now there's more of a concentrated effort. Now that I realize I have something on my hands here, there's much more strategy and it's very process driven now. And, like building a process driven business, a whole nother story. And then the other piece to building authority, I mean, yeah, book and podcast are one thing, but there's so many books out there with one rating on Amazon or zero ratings that are just with a really poor cover that are just so poorly done. And there's a lot of podcasts out there that are a year old and have zero ratings and are just really, really shockingly poorly done. Like it's crazy how much trash is out there in terms of podcasts. And I know there's going to be some people that are going to be offended by me saying this. Totally fine. I don't care, but it's just the facts. And as Ben Shapiro would say, without getting political or anything, I'm not picking sides here, but he has a great saying, facts don't care about your feelings. So I don't really care. the other piece to that with, I started borrowing credibility from my guests.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I had a guest that had a verified badge on social media platforms. It was Tiffany Pham, episode 39 of my podcast. And I was like, so the way you get head over heels for like a
starstruck,
someone else in a relationship. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly like that. And I was just so flunked.
She actually talked to me, man.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And I thought it was the coolest thing. I mean, she's so cool. And I've had her on twice now and she's a friend of mine and she's amazing. But I was making it a much bigger deal than it actually was. But nevertheless, I was starting to borrow credibility from those people. Yeah. I realized this is my chance. Like I'm now being, at least on a subconscious level, sometimes associated with Tiffany Pham. I mean, Tiffany Pham, a lot of people know Tiffany Pham, but for most people who hear that episode, it's going to be the first time that they're hearing Tiffany Pham. And it's with me. And so people are going to begin to associate me with these people. Even Dan Locke, and I know you just had him on in the episodes coming out around mine, yep, around this episode.
I think right before.
Oh, my buddy, Dan. That's great. Back to bet. I'm so happy about that because he's one of my favorite guests. He, by the way, he blew me away. Us too.
Yeah.
Oh, he blew us away too.
Right. He's so good. Like I just, you know, watching his videos, you could, there's a, obviously you love him. Like I love the videos, great stuff, but like there's totally potential for a, for him to be superficial. You just never know what people are like off the, off the record. And he blew me away. He's a lover. He's a lover with a kind heart, and he used, whether it's a psych, what I mean, he does this with everyone, whether it's a psychological tactic or not. I mean, he uses everyone's name, no matter who he's talking to. Like it's, he's good. And with me, since it was like video, he had my, we get on the call and he's like, we start talking and he goes, You like what's on the TV? And it was my episode, or it was my album, or Growth Mindset University's like cover art on like big blown up on the screen behind him. I was like, oh my God, Dan.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, great. On that note though, what you mentioned about superficiality, because I've worked behind the scenes for a number of, my background's a lot in the seminar industry, coaching industry, a lot of live events like LA, San Diego, like these different areas. And I've experienced it, and not everything, it's not always what you see is what you get. A lot of times behind the scenes, it could be a little bit different than that. So it is really cool when you find somebody that's like the same on stage as they are off stage, and they really do care. They really add value. Like that makes all the difference. And so it's really cool to see and be able to recognize that.
Yeah. You know who else is like that? Is James Altucher. And that is my episode that just came out with him. It was in New York City in front of a live audience. So, I mean, I guess technically that was my first event. It wasn't really as complex as what I'm planning now, but whatever. But yeah, people like, even though James and Dan, though, they're so popular and millions of people know them and follow them and have heard their name, for most people, because there's way more than a million people in the world, or 5 million people, right? There's way more than that amount of people. It'll be the first time that they're hearing that person. And so the cumulative effects of now 126 episodes for me with the biggest names, brightest, most successful business minds, New York Times bestselling authors, like people that have sold tens of millions of copies of books, like Mark Manson and billionaires. And so the cumulative effects of having 126 episodes with those people, it has elevated my credibility up to around at least around that level. And I've seen the way people view me and treat me. I've seen that transform over, I mean, yeah, the podcast is what, a year and 4 months old, but especially the past 7 months, I've seen that transform because that's when I really started making moves.
That's funny because we started Marketing Geeks in June 2018. So we're at similar start points on our podcast. You have a few more episodes than we do, but we started at a similar time. So it's kind of funny to see the trajectories of growth between both of these shows. Now you initially caught my attention because I think we connected on LinkedIn. You might have sent me a message, but I kind of like looked at your profile and I saw that you interviewed Mark Manson. And that was, you talk about borrowing credibility. That was huge because like, I know Mark Manson, he wrote The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, and which is a great book if you haven't checked it out. I bought his new book, but I haven't, I bought the audio book, haven't listened to it yet. I need to listen to it.
It's very good.
It is awesome. I will, it's on my list. Yeah. I'll get to it soon. But again, like, yeah, you borrowed by you having him on your show, that gave me the insight on you that you knew what you were talking about. You gained authority points. And this all goes back. One of my mentors talks about like the Oprah Winfrey model and how did Oprah build her audience way back when? And the idea is that you're borrowing other people's credibility. You're bringing them on your show. They're going to promote to their audience. And every time somebody promotes you to their audience, some of those people are going to stick. And ultimately your audience over time is going to continue to expand. And that's the beauty of a podcast and having that guest platform, is that you're able to start slowly borrowing other people's audiences and sticking them onto you. And then over time, that authority is also coming. You're borrowing some of their authority, and that's sticking to you as well. So yeah, you're making huge strides. You're only 21. You're already getting into the live event space, which I think is one of the fastest ways to make a lot of money in this business. Great things happening. Yeah, you interviewed Rachel Starr. Tell me real quick about that one, because that's an interesting one. I'm not familiar with her, but I just said porn star Rachel Starr, and that's just kind of catchy. Another attention grabbing thing. How did that come about? Did she reach out to you? You reach out to her? How did that happen?
Well, let's not just say porn star. This is
okay. Well, that's
this
fair.
Is
that's
this
fair.
Is yeah. this is no 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 no. It is fair. This is the biggest porn star in the world. Okay. This is Rachel Starr. So I had the opportunity, you know, and this is like, this goes back to a couple of my principles of treating everyone like they can get you a cover story on Forbes magazine, you know, and I don't do this anymore. I mean, it says it in all caps on my LinkedIn profile, right? Top of the summary, no phone calls. But I used to take phone calls that I didn't know would amount to anything because I didn't have anything better going on. And one of the, and 99% of those phone calls, I'd walk away kicking myself like, oh my God, what a waste of time. I even look back now and I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe I spent an hour talking to that person. It literally like was just a complete waste of time in my life. Maybe something will come around from it 30 years from now. Maybe I'll run into them in like New York City. I have no idea, but right now it seems like a waste of time. But this one person ended up not being a complete waste of time. And we really hit it off. And he goes, you know, you talk to Rachel Starr. I'll introduce you to her. And you know who else you should talk to? Jordan Harbinger. I'll text him. I'll FaceTime you. We're going to be in London together in January. Jordan Harbinger will be on. He's been on the schedule for like over half a year, like ridiculous. But it'll finally be happening in about a week. So I had the opportunity to be introduced and I was, and Rachel and I seemed to hit it off right away. Like there was a point where, we were talking on Zoom or on the phone, like every other night for an hour or two each time. It was like we really enjoyed talking to each other. It was great. And just in preparing for this interview, we had our interview prepared on the schedule for February 14th, which was, of course, Valentine's Day. And that's what the episode is called, Valentine's Day with Rachel Starr, another one of our 2-hour conversations. But that one is public, of course. Yeah, it's just funny how it came about. And yeah,
anytime you get somebody that's like the top of their industry, it doesn't matter what the industry is. It really doesn't matter. There's going to be tons to learn from that person, because like it doesn't happen by accident. People that are at the top of their game in any industry, whatever field they're in, that's not an accident. But what they're doing something right. They have something to teach you. And so I haven't listened to that episode yet. I need to go back and listen to that episode with you and her. But I'll look forward to it.
Exactly. And that was my, when people, you know, some people would be like, Jordan, what the heck are you doing, man? And even now, I mean, the only people who have something negative to say about it are people who haven't heard that episode. And because when you hear it, like, it's like, you get it and it's good. And I know a lot of women that loved it and that listened to it, like, while they're putting makeup on in the morning, like every morning, I'm like, that's so cool, you know? She inspires me, you know? But it doesn't happen by accident. That's exactly what I would say to people. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question a little bit. Cause one of the things that you talked about earlier was the, you know, going to school and, not really getting out of like the marketing classes, the things that you wanted to get out of. What are the types of techniques that you use currently that you find most effective, specifically targeting the getting the word out about what you're doing and how you're doing it? Like what do you think is most effective right now?
That's a great question. It's a loaded question. I wouldn't try to reteach some of the things that I've learned in, say, books like .com Secrets by Russell Brunson, and all sorts of books on the topic around me right now with my bookshelves behind me. I just kind of combined these skills and techniques and even books on selling books on communication and human behavior and psychology and just bundled it all into one. And that's just kind of how I operate. And over, it's how I've kind of operated over time. I like, it's something I've been wondering about lately, but something that I've been going by for quite a while now is, you know, multiple years is draw something I got from .com secrets, draw your line in the sand. Because if you stay neutral, nobody cares about you. Nobody's talking about you. And thus you're not making money. So you'll see me post things like Justin probably saw it yesterday. Cause I know he viewed my profile yesterday, whether it was because it might've been because of my post yesterday, but it's stuff like formal education is prison. College is prison. Formal education is a huge scam. Like I post that stuff and it alienates so many people and so many people get really angry at me. And I take a lot of flack as I did yesterday, but I also get a lot of love. And so
I tend to agree with you, especially on that one.
And there's a lot that goes into that. If you're really curious as to why formal education is a huge scam, I would go to jordanparis.com/Altucher for the episode with James Altucher or /EP126, whatever is easy for you to remember.
What makes it nice for you is you kind of play it both ways though, because you are a student in college at the same time that you're saying this. So it's like, at least you're, so the,
right, because
they can't like fully criticize you because you actually are getting a degree too.
Right. And I mean, if it was my choice, I wouldn't be here, but it's not my choice. It's my parents' choice. And I can't be too upset at that because I'm fortunate enough to have had I used to hesitate to say this because I would think oh, what are people gonna think of me if I say this? But it's just what happened. Like these are my parents. Okay. They very, very diligent savers that put away a college fund of X amount of dollars for not one, not two, but all three kids. And that was in place for a decade before I went to school. So like that was always their plan. And so to drop out would be
blasphemy
for them, not be good. And they've said if I were to do that, I'd have to pay everything back in tuition that they've spent so far, which would be around $90,000. So I tend to stay in school because $90,000 can go so many other places.
Well, I want to add something though, because one of the things that I've learned, and this goes with college, this goes with masterminds too, because there's a lot of masterminds out there that are $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year.
Whoa.
I don't think that the learning component is the most valuable piece. I think that from college and from masterminds, the most valuable piece is access to the network of people that are in those communities. So when you're in college, you can connect with like-minded people, and those people might be people you work with in the future. And that's where the value is, in my opinion, is the network of people there.
Let me play devil's advocate here. Do you need to spend $100,000 okay, I get it. You go to an in-state school. Okay, you spent $30,000. Do you need to spend $30,000 to make friends? Do you need to buy your friends? Is that what I'm hearing? Or let's pose the question too. Maybe they are, maybe they're not, but are they like-minded people? Because if you look at my network that's filled with Mark Manson, Dan Locke, James Altucher, all these people, Rachel Starr, John Lee Dumas. I could go on for 100 names. how many of them did I meet even indirectly because of school? Zero. And those are my, the people on my podcast, those are my 100 most valuable connections. And none of them happen because of school. And the people from school, for the most part, they're mostly in college mode, which is, you know, party hardy and smoke weed and drink alcohol at least 3-4 days a week. And I am not in that mode. I haven't been, I mean, first of all, I don't smoke or do any of that stuff, but I haven't been in that party mode since the first half of freshman year. A long time ago. So, for me, we just don't do the same activities. We don't care about the same things. And for that reason, I find it hard hard-ish to connect with them and really develop a meaningful relationship. I can talk to people. Like I've done so much work in the communication arena because that used to be a pain point for me. I can talk to anyone. It's just, is it going to be a really fruitful, meaningful relationship that I even value in my network and consider a high value person in my network? More often than not, actually the overwhelming majority of the time, no. Is that fair? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good insight to take. Because you're right. You don't want to buy your friends necessarily. I think by being in those situations, you have the opportunity to connect with people. It depends on where you're going to college too. Because I mean, if I think about people that went to like the most expensive colleges, they went to like Yale and Harvard. Like you look at the reason that they end up in the positions they end up with is largely because of the introductions that they received from being in those colleges, not because of the actual what they know. It's not like they're a better student than the person that went to a junior college or to a state school. It's that they had access to these people that had the people of wealth. And I guess by using the podcast, I mean, you're kind of doing the same. You're accessing these people in a different way. So you're finding a way to connect with people that have influence, that have had success, and you're using the podcast to do it. So, I mean, I think the opportunity with a college, though, I think is that almost the same thing with a podcast. You're using it to make these connections with people of influence and
build a world
the potential to do that. But you're right. I mean, because when I went to college, I didn't make a ton of connections that mattered in business. And I went to UC Santa Barbara. You know, I drank a whole lot, wasted a whole lot of my time. I don't look back and go like, oh, yes, I'm so glad that I drank 3 days a week in college.
That makes me depressed. I mean, it's a good thing. I wish like if I didn't get like severely depressed for 4 days after drinking, I would probably do it a lot more often. And now when I like
what blessing in disguise, maybe.
Exactly. And you know, my best friend is moving across the state this week. And so I'm going out with him and his girlfriend tonight, and I'm probably going to have two drinks. That won't be too much. I'm going to be a little bit affected tomorrow, but I won't be affected for 4 days. Like if I have five drinks, I'm going to be super sad. It's almost like I'm allergic to alcohol. I get it's a depressant, but I might just experience it a lot harder than most people.
No, man, I'm totally allergic to alcohol. I actually found that out the hard way, and it's kind of tough because you go out with friends and everyone's
drinking.
Aren't
we all, though?
And well, I mean, some people more than others, and but you know what? Own it, and just it's probably definitely for the better. I want to talk to you about your book a little bit and ask you about the genesis of it. The contents of it, and you know, how did it come about, and where people can get it. But can you talk a little bit about the book here and when you wrote it, why you wrote it,
I have no idea. I have no idea how it came about. really don't know. So it's I am thankful though. It was something I was telling someone the other day. I am thankful for the timing of it. Thankful for the time of the podcast as well. As you mentioned, they're foot in the door credibility builders for sure. Like it gets your foot in the door, and that was, or maybe you could equate it to the first and second steps of the staircase, right? The book and podcast are, you know, steps one and two. And those just catch up the first couple of steps, but the timing was just perfect. That allowed me to do everything else that, you know, where we are today, without those two things, it wouldn't happen. Those got the ball rolling in the right direction, and it's really easy to keep a ball rolling that's already rolling. It's hard to, depending on how heavy the ball is, I guess. I mean, it's hard to get the ball rolling though. That's or at least that's the hardest part. But to keep it rolling, really easy. So I'm very thankful for the time of that. The book came out. It was May 17th of 2018, so exactly a month after the podcast. And yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of people enjoy it, right? And I consider it to be like okay, if you read Tony Robbins' book and it's the first or second book you read, it's going to change your life. I'm talking about Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. If it's the 80th book you read, like if I didn't read that as a junior in high school and I just started reading it now after all those other books that I had been reading, like I know people who did that. You know, it was the 50th, 60th book they read. Didn't do anything for them. So with Growth Mindset University, the book, subtitle, How to Learn Anything, Take Control of Your Life and Fulfill Your Vision of Success, which is exactly what the book is about. If that's the 50th book you read, it's probably not going to do anything for you. It might other, you know, maybe just grab you a new perspective, or if you're really curious about me, I don't know. But the book is sectioned out. If you've, I mean, everyone's read How to Win Friends and Influence People. If not, you're an alien. I've not talked to anyone that hasn't read, or at least on a podcast that hasn't read that book. Am I, what about you guys?
Well, I've not read it, but I've listened to the audiobook. So,
oh, that's fine. Yeah. So it's sectioned. My book is sectioned out like that, in that there's a principle at the end of each chapter. So there's 12 principles throughout the book. So I really enjoyed writing it. I really did. And especially chapter 4, especially, you know, it's got the cliche title, Invest in Yourself, but that chapter is all about learning how to learn. And that's my favorite chapter.
Chapter 4 changes everything. Go check it out. One of the things that I like that you keep coming back to is the idea that you kind of like dive in blind and know that you're going to kind of be terrible in the beginning. But understand that the path to success is repetition and slow growth and slow expansion. I mean, when we started our podcast, the exact same way you described starting your podcast is pretty similar to how we did it. We didn't even do it as a serious thing. We were just experimenting. I had a client that I was managing his podcast, and I'm like, oh, why don't we like experiment with starting our own while I'm kind of building his. And so we kind of just picked up a mic, started recording, and then we just kept doing it over and over and over. And eventually we had people start to reach out to us and we started getting connections. And then we started doing what you did. We brought on like John Lee Dumas. We had Pat Flynn on the show. We had Dan Locke on the show now, and like people of influence. And it's just amazing how like, yeah, if you just go into something blindly, even and have a little bit of a leap of faith, like, and you actually have a growth mindset, meaning that you're willing to learn and willing to grow as you go along, big things can and will happen. And I'll let you respond to that in a second. But one other thing I wanted to ask you mentioned that you kind of had to teach yourself social skills, it sounded like, or at least like speaking skills, getting comfortable, maybe interviewing people. Tell me a little bit about that process. Because I consider myself a heavy, heavy introvert. Most people that knew me like in high school would call me very shy, unless they saw me when I was drinking. But but for the most part, I've had to do a lot of that stuff, and I've studied things like NLP, and I've done a lot of Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. Read a lot of his stuff. But what for you, like, what did you have to do to get better at being a public speaker or a public presence? Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, it goes back to the roots of just being able to talk to someone and having fulfilling social interactions, right? I mean, because I was having way too many grossly unfulfilling social interactions where I'd kick myself afterwards and be like, why did you say that? You know, why'd you do that? I'd just be shaking my head. And so... rather than just sit back, lay in bed and cry, I did something about it. I laid in bed, cried, and then I found Vanessa Van Edwards. Then I found Vanessa and listened to every podcast interview that she's ever done. I read her book, Captivate, The Science of Succeeding with People. I took notes on it, lived it. I would read it and go out and be a practitioner of it and test it and work on my craft and get better. And then Jordan Harbinger listening to interviews that he's done and being a practitioner of his work. Right. So I went on that journey of, you know, starting in January of 2018, over a year and a half ago now, and it absolutely changed my life. And came full circle. I had Vanessa on the podcast. And so by that point, after preparing for her interview, I had watched all of her interviews twice. I love learning that kind of stuff and reading the books on the subject. Even reading Chase Hughes, by the way, who's the one that introduced me to Rachel Starr. Chase Hughes wrote an excellent, excellent book called The Ellipsis Manual, Analysis and Engineering of Human Behavior. And that book is exactly what it is. Analysis and engineering of human behavior. There's a whole, it's to my left right now. There's a whole, yeah, imagine the periodic table of elements, but the behavioral table of elements with every gesture from head to toe and every vocal tonality on it. And it's like, and there's deception ratings for each of them and what they, it's really, really intense. Oh my God.
How do you spell his name? I'll have to check this out. What do you
Chase
spell his name?
Chase Hughes. Very simple. H-U-G-H-E-S. And then just Chase. But
Hughes.
Yeah. I learned all that stuff and made it happen. And over time, I just realized I was getting good at talking to people, and now I could talk to anyone. I don't even care. I don't even got to stress it. I wanted to make a note of this, the decisions without hesitation, like just throwing yourself into things. We have to put an asterisk next to that because that's what it is for me. And maybe that's what you guys did for your podcast, but it doesn't work for everybody. I point to my friend Hala Taha, who hosts a podcast called Young and Profiting, which if you go to SoundCloud, you'll see that she gets nearly 20,000 listens every single episode, and she only has like 31 episodes. And I'll be on in 2 days. I'm excited. Yeah, yeah. And she, if you listen to episode number one, it is the most perfect, well done piece of value on the face of the planet. Like it was perfect from day one and only got better. And oh my gosh. So she's not one of those people that is the decide without hesitation and just throw yourself into things. She's very strategic and plans things out in advance. And that's how it works for her. And she sees great success with that.
As long as your strategicness doesn't leave you never taking action, that can be okay. Right. It's just sometimes for a lot of people, procrastination just leads to never, ever taking action.
Well, yeah. And you could think about it. I mean, are you the type of person that, you know, when you see a beautiful woman or anyone beautiful, anyone across the room, do you hesitate to approach them or you do it without thinking? Like I would overthink it and blow it and talk myself out of it even. So I am obviously the person that has to decide without hesitation. So, because if I think about it, I'm going to talk myself out of it.
So what's next for you on the agenda? You're still in college. You've got the book, the podcast is taking off. Where do you see yourself going? Like, what's the trajectory for you personally moving forward?
Having fun. Living life by design and just enjoying continuation growth.
Now, I want to get, there's one more topic I want to cover before we get into like anything that you're geeking in and stuff like that, which we will get to, but I want to hear a little bit about your experience with LinkedIn, because you are obviously becoming a big presence on LinkedIn. I see you get a lot of engagement. Like I follow you on LinkedIn. I like a lot of the content that you've put out there. You even talk about how you use LinkedIn to get on podcast shows. And I'm like, wait a minute, you did that to me.
That's exactly.
Yeah. And like, crap, I fell for it. But it's, you got some great content on here and you get a lot of engagement. And I hear like Gary Vaynerchuk talks about like how he thinks LinkedIn is like Facebook 2011, meaning that like there's a big opportunity for organic growth right now where Facebook is kind of tapped out with organic to an extent.
They tapped out.
And so tell me a little bit about it. Like why'd you get started? Like why did LinkedIn become your central focus? And like any words of wisdom for people that want to build an audience on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Like
well, that. LinkedIn is my platform of choice because I was 14 years old in 2011 and I just got my Facebook. So And I sure as heck didn't have a business page or anything like that. So I missed that train. But with LinkedIn, I mean, yeah, it's great. I can put something out, even if I'm like lazy and I just post a quote, I can put it out, and within like 5 minutes, I get 200 people that already saw it. And I'm like, whoa, this was 5 minutes ago. And like a lot of people already saw that and liked it. Like that's awesome. So the ability for me to, and you know, imagine what it gets to after a week. I mean, sometimes a video in 3 second views will get to 75,000. I had two of those back to back 2 months ago exactly. And I mean, imagine those are 3 second video views. Imagine the amount of impressions. The impressions on those videos probably got into the millions, but that's just speculation. I don't have those statistics because it was on my personal page and not my company page.
And those are bigger numbers than like, we just interviewed Ryan Levesque, and we did an interview. I posted that as a video, and I threw in like $25 to promote it on Facebook, and you're getting like bigger numbers than paid traffic on Facebook. So it's like, there's some value there.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is all organic, yeah. Right?
Of course.
How many followers do you have on LinkedIn?
As of now, 20.
I can tell you, I'm looking at it right now. 28,260. I'm looking at it.
Nice.
Oh, wow. It was at, I think, gosh, it was at 05 today. I had 28,205 in the beginning of the day, I think. So that's cool.
Do you have any strategies for growing your LinkedIn followers? Is there anything that you do to increase that growth?
Yeah, well, put out good content that create stuff that people want to share. Like I get 500 to 1,000 shares in a month. I don't ask anyone ever under any circumstances to share a piece of my content. I never do this, but I messaged this lady who shared, I don't know what it was, but she shared it. And I said, thanks. I messaged her and said, thanks for sharing. And she goes, thank you for giving me valuable content to share. And I was like, oh, well, that's just it. You got to give what can you post that will make people's lives better by sharing it? That's a question you got to ask yourself too. And you got to ask yourself too, why would they care? Like when I first started my podcast, I gave people no reason to care. I wasn't teaching anything other than cliches. It was just rambling. I didn't really have guests. And it was like, I wasn't qualified to teach on these things. It was stupid. There was no reason for people to care. There wasn't even a schedule like there, you know, for people to look forward to an episode on Monday, like no reason to care. And this is what I now call the care factor. The care factor was sorely missing. And that's why nobody cared about the podcast. And now there's a whole lot of reasons to care about the podcast. You got to give people a reason to care. The other thing, for the record too, you can't even, these are follows. Like you can't connect with me if you don't have my email. You can't. and of course, then the default button is the follow is, you know, when you hover over my profile, it says follow instead of connect. Change that in the settings if for anyone that doesn't know. You can do that. You just got to find it somewhere. It might be in, I don't know. It's just look it up. Google University. It's a great university. YouTube University.
That makes a lot of sense because I don't do that right now. And I still have my connect button as my primary button. And I get a lot of spam direct messages. Spam direct messages though. That's the only difference. And I always read my messages, but I talk about this a lot, but it's, if you don't have a personalized message, oh my God, like I you know, you won't even get past like five words with me. If I feel like I'm reading canned message or something that's like a template, it doesn't last long. And that it ultimately, it doesn't work. I know that you're not I know you direct message people, but I get the feeling that you're not cut and pasting templates with people.
No, absolutely, as well. Absolutely not. And people, oh my God, I was talking, you know, I was on someone's show last week that, and they're asking me like how I do good on LinkedIn. And this guy's like, he's like, yeah, I do the best I can. And he thinks it's okay to have one of those auto platform, like platforms automatically post for him. It's like,
yeah,
it's not freaking okay, dude. It's really obvious when that happens with like the at symbol, and it's like a mess, and nope, it's lazy. And if you don't care, why would anyone else care? So, and
if you're not native to the platform, like if you have a post, an Instagram post and you share it to Twitter, like a lot of people do their Instagram and just that's their Twitter presence. It's like a share.
Oh, it's horrible.
Instagram is terrible. Yeah.
I know people with verified badges that do that. And I'm like, holy crap, what are you doing? You're ruining your profile. Like it could look so good. You got the badge. Like if you just stopped clicking the auto syndicate to like Twitter, it would look really a lot better. But I do have, you know, I give a 55-minute lecture on LinkedIn that I turned into a course. This is one of my this course is not as well done as my podcasting course, of course. It's just it's a 55-minute lecture on LinkedIn, but you get this course for free, of course. Oh, of course, I said, ha, ha, ha. But
a lot of courses there.
You can get this course, this LinkedIn course from me, the lecture that I give at jordanparis.com/LinkedIn. It's right there. So, yeah.
Awesome. jordanparis.com/LinkedIn.
Yeah, so we can follow you on LinkedIn and tell us a little bit. You've got the podcast course. You want to tell us a little bit about the podcast course and what is going to be in that?
Yeah, podcasting, I think there's a great, huge opportunity in podcasting right now. And a lot of people that that we know, they're playing celebrity bingo, just checking the boxes, you know, getting the biggest names on the podcast, as opposed to building a process-driven business around your podcast and monetizing it. No, doesn't have to be with ad revenue. It can be, that's fine. But there's a better, more sustainable way to do it. And so throughout that hour long course, I teach you that. And so you can go to jordanparis.com/PU for that course. It's free again. And that's all I'll give you on it.
Perfect. Well, we'll definitely check that out. Well, we're going to wrap up here, but before we do, Jordan, what are you most geeky about right now?
I am
anything goes.
Yeah. Well, I usually call the TV the income reduction box, but I for right now, it's just me fighting a little bit of cognitive dissonance because I've been watching a little bit of TV, but it might be serving me right now. I think I like the downtime. Downtime's healthy. And I don't know that it matters how you spend your downtime as long as it's downtime. And so I went a period of like 2 years where I barely watched any TV. I remember my freshman year of college, I didn't even own a TV for like 2 years. Okay. So I went a long time without TV. And now I'm kind of enjoying this show.
We got to ask, what are you watching? Yeah. What are you watching?
Yeah, exactly. It's called, I'm such a geek, and it's weird for me, but it's called Royal Pains. It's like this doctor show, this concierge doctor in the Hamptons. And I'm just very appreciative of the many storylines going on throughout the different seasons and the way they bring things full circle, maybe even all like 16 episodes later and that you forgot about, and just, I'm enjoying it mostly, but also from a storytelling perspective, I'm learning at least a little bit from that. It's a good show. And I like the cast. Yeah, it's good.
How about like books and influencers? What are your favorite, like who are you following? Who are some of the top influencers that you've learned from? And maybe a couple book references even.
Yeah. Mark Manson, James Altucher, and Dan Locke. I loved Choose Yourself by James. I loved all of Mark's books. Yes, even the dating one, which is fantastic. Marked by, you know, by Mark Manson. It's the subtitle. Actually, have it right next to me. I'm holding it in my hand. The subtitle of Mark Manson's dating book called Models is Attract Women Through Honesty. So it's the least douchey book on dating out there. It really is. Like you hear those, and I have this one right behind me as well. Like, look, I just read everything. You don't have to agree with something. You don't have to agree with everything you read. So I have that. People have probably heard of The Game by Neil Strauss. And that is the most douchey and generally offensive dating book, even if you want to call it that out there. It's more of a hooking up book. But I've seen it all there. But anyway, I like reading Mark, James, and Dan with his videos, and that's what I enjoy right now. I'm Vanessa Van Edwards.
I also subscribe to that philosophy, though, that it's okay, even if you don't agree with something, it's okay to still read it, because it's good to have alternative perspectives on things too, and to understand what else is out there. I don't believe in just because something is not to your liking that you should not expose yourself to it. It's good to at least keep an open mind and correct, know what's out there. So I agree with that.
Nice. Justin, what are you geeky about right now?
Nothing too new, man. I'm just going to go back to my my show Dark on Netflix. It's freaking amazing. That's like the time travel show. I love it. There's only two seasons. It's not, you know, about 20 episodes on there. It's I think it was filmed in German, so you have to, it's dubbed, so the acting is not like fantastic, but you can watch with subtitles too, but it's such a good show. And I've mentioned this one too. On Prime, you can get a movie called Under the Silver Lake, which so far I'm the only one that's enjoyed this movie. Nobody else has liked it, but there's like a whole Reddit community around it because it has all these like hidden codes and meanings in it, and it's crazy metaphors. It's really, I love it. So
I'm geeky about, I just read a really great article in the New Yorker about Alan Dershowitz. Talk about a douche. Oh my God. Like this. Like basically,
how do you really feel?
I'll put it to you this way. You know, his friend was Jeffrey Epstein, and he was good friends with him. Decided to be his lawyer for free. And the funniest part about it is that, you know, Jeffrey Epstein had these women come over, and they were all underage, and Alan Dershowitz is this old dude, man. He's like 80. And at first he's like, oh, I just went over there, but I knew nothing about what was going on. And recently he came out and he's like, well, I did go over there, and I was at Jeffrey's house once, and I did get a massage, but it was by an old Russian lady named Olga. And I kept my underwear on and I didn't even like it. And I was just thinking, like, you know, if I came home and I was like, hey, honey, you know, my friend Jeffrey, the child molester. I did get a massage at his house, but you know, it was all legit and I kept my underwear on. I think she would just look at me for a very long time and not say anything.
Yeah, you might be in the doghouse on that one.
Yeah, but there's a great expose on him in the New Yorker, which has the finest writing of anything out there. The New Yorker is, I'm geeky about the New Yorker. It's just amazing. But if you get an opportunity, check out that article, because it gets into who this person is and what's kind of really going on. Great journalism, fantastic journalism. So that's what I'm thinking about. Awesome. So Jordan, thank you so much for being on the show. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, another fine episode of the Marketing Geeks comes to an end. Jordan, good luck.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for being on, Jordan. Awesome insights, awesome points to learn from. Check out his podcast course. Check out his LinkedIn. Thanks, 55-minute video. Lots of great value.
Yeah, and put out great content. Put it out there. Follow Jordan. Check out what he's doing on LinkedIn. I'm definitely going to do that, because you know what? For an old guy, I'm willing to learn from anybody, no matter who it is. And that's...
that's the point, right? So yeah, Jordan, we should have a you know what we should do? We should create some controversy and do like a rap battle where I diss you on our rap track and then you can diss us and then we'll like
that's right yeah you know,
we'll like make some controversy.
Machine Gun Kelly Eminem flashback.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. No, but in all seriousness, thank you so much. Check out JordanParis.com. Check out his podcast. Check out his book. You can get it on Amazon. And with that, ladies and gentlemen,
stay classy.